past year. Trust you rested and that you've had a good break, and in the process, expectant and excited for 2016 and what God has. Come on, let this be such a good year that in 5 years you'll look back and say, remember 2016. It's going to be a good year. And part of releasing the prophetic is you and I were meant to live by faith. I don't know if you know that, but as a new creation person, a born-again part of the body of Jesus, you were made to function in this operating system called faith. And you know how faith comes to us? You know how we get built up in faith? You know how faith increases? It's by that word that comes from God. And prophecy, like nothing else, releases an atmosphere for the word of God to operate. I thought, what a good way to start our time together. Because come on now, we've got to answer the question, why do we come to church? And what do we expect? And what is it all about? Because we live our Christian lives 24/7. And we in the ministry 24/7. And church is out to work 24/7. But there's something about when we assemble together. Ash, can I have Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26? Just the one verse. So I'm hoping to ask people this question in the next couple of weeks as I meet personally. Is why do we come together? What is the purpose of the assembly of the saints? To worship, yes. To experience the presence of God, yes. The word of God. And thanks to all those who were prepared to share this morning. And we just kind of, out of trying to honor people roughly in their time constraints, you know, we try and be honoring in terms of when we start and not stopping too abruptly, but at the same time. But thanks for those who are ready to share. And I want to remind you again what this scripture means for us this morning. Verse 26 says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. In fact, I want to jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, please, Ash, and read from verse 8 or 9. 10, 11. Let's go to 11. And down to verse 16. So Christ himself, you see, paper's still faster than computer. So Christ himself, and sometimes easy to read. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. There it is again. So that everyone may be built up. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's just let that soak in. Okay, verse 14. Then, when that happens, we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men and the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. In him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and here it is again, builds itself up in love as each does its work. Let's flip back to that Corinthians verse. What shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Interesting, it says when you come together, not if you come together. When we come together is important because this is not the only place we live our Christian life. But, I mean, I was speaking to a lady recently, they've immigrated, but I asked her how it was that she managed to, even during her busy business and she held a senior executive position, just seemed to get to church regularly. And she said, sometimes I don't feel like going to church, but when I've had that time, I wake up on Monday and I feel like I've got wind in my sails. If those weren't the exact words, but she'd wake up on Monday and go, oh, I'm so glad I got together with people to worship. Yes, I'm so glad I've benefited. And she was probably hardly ever had a bump into and say, have you immigrated? She was just so visible. And anyway, when you come together, that was just by the way, okay? By the way, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue interpretation. All these are done for the strengthening of the church. That's why we come together. For the church to be strengthened. And I want to prophesy and declare over you that the test of this is that you're going to be able to look back in a year's time and where maybe you'd grown stagnant in sharing your faith with others, you'll have become bold in sharing your faith. Where you'd maybe become stale in your understanding of the scripture and your intimacy with the Lord, you're going to have grown and become strong in that area of your life. That in the area of using your gifts and using your ministries and whatever gifts he gave you to this church to be, you're going to look back and see that you've got strong in those areas. That's why we come together. And that was a little bit about what this morning is about. But we're not finished. Because I could go into a 3-point homily that I researched in my quiet time in my study for 30 minutes, and by the end of it, I'll have glazed over looks and a whole lot of disconnected people. Or else, we could release the gift that is inside of you that somebody else needs. Isn't that different? Let me ask, how many of you have been used by God in the past to bring that word, that encouragement, that prophecy, that tongue, that picture to a person in their situation that has made a difference? Many of us, yeah, I should hope so. And you know what I found? Often when I've been used by God to do that, I didn't have to prepare myself for it. I just had to be available and come quite simply and say, I'm going to open my mouth and start, even if I start with a prayer. And as I start praying, a picture will pop into my mind. Or I'll be reminded of a scripture or a situation. And I begin to speak that out and pray that out. And then afterwards, when I speak to that person, I found out they heard something completely different to what I intended. It's like preaching. Someone, you preach on a subject, and afterwards you bump into someone, and it's like they heard a completely different sermon. But maybe they heard the sermon they needed to hear. And that's how the Holy Spirit operates. On the day of Pentecost, 120 speaking in tongues, and the multitudes came, and everyone heard them speaking in their own language. I don't know where the miracle was, in the speaking or the hearing. But I know sometimes people hear, prompted by the Spirit, as someone is being used as the telephone wire from heaven. So those who put their hands up now, I'm saying there was a time when you were just a telephone wire from heaven. And you got encouraged in the process. You see, when the prophetic flows, if we adopt an attitude of expectancy and almost wanting to like pickpocket, if I can use that term, I heard that term used for when someone's bringing a prophetic word for someone else, just pretend you're that person. And I've done that with amazing results of hearing God for myself. So here's Terry, he's bringing a prophetic word over James, and I don't just go into like passive, glazed over, disconnected mode. I go into, what if I was James now? I'm going to receive this word. And I pickpocket that prophetic word as if it was my own. And often I come away more blessed. Now, I can't be more blessed than him, but as blessed as him. You see, the prophetic, to receive the prophetic, you've got to have an attitude of expectation. You've got to have an attitude of humility and teachableness, and not a, I dare you to bless me, brother. Let me see if I can give you a 4 out of 10 or a 7 out of 10. No, you come with an attitude of, if this was Jesus speaking to me right now, what would that mean for me? And it is him speaking to you because he promised through the body to give gifts to build you up, to edify you, to strengthen you. And it says when you come together, you bring some of these things and you unpack them. Statement by statement, sentence by sentence. Prophecies like driving down a road in the dark, in the mist, and you just got the little cat's eyes, 3 or 4 ahead at a time. And you just hope they keep coming. You hope someone didn't dig them up and they suddenly disappear and woo! Now, as you're driving, they keep coming. It's a bit like when you're prophesying. You start praying. You say the first thing that's on your mind. You just have an attitude of, God, use me. Use me. And you start speaking and you repeat a few things. But the cat's eyes start coming. And sometimes it clears up and you see way down the road. You are called to live by faith. And your faith needs to be in an atmosphere where the word of God, sung through song. Aren't you glad we had such amazing ministry of song this morning? That was prophetic. That was encouraging to lean forward into God. Don't you appreciate the fact you got gifts in the house that have come to encourage and speak God's favor and goodness? And the other gifts behind the scenes that are serving and making things happen. When everybody brings their gift, the body is built up and edified so we can grow from strength to strength. We're not just here on a Sunday morning as passive observers so that we can dare the pastor to bless us with this newfound 4 points in a poem message that he downloaded off the internet to tickle our ears and tickle our fancies so that we can leave on cloud 9 feeling all wonderful. We're here to be built up by the body, in the body, the whole body. Now, of course, when you're in a group of a few hundred, the facilitating of that's a little different. But what happened this morning is no less important than when we have an apostolic gift who comes to the church, someone like a Rob Rufus or a Greg Hazel or a Finney DiGiustini or Creflo Dollar or Andrew Womack and all the guys we're going to have come this year. No less important when you step out in your gift. Let me ask again. Who has been used to bring a word? Okay, now I'm going to make a big ask of you. We're finishing up the time this morning. And I'm going to ask that you make yourself available for 5 minutes, 10 minutes after the service now. And as you come up and stand here, I'm going to invite, if there's people in the church and you here this morning going, it's just not my time to share a word. I am so desperately needing to hear something from God. I am so in a place of discomfort. I'm in such a place of insecurity. And more than anything, I just need something to hook my faith onto. And if that's you, you don't have to be the one dishing out the prophecy. You can be the one receiving. So then I want to invite you to come up to somebody and have them pray. Isn't that awesome? That the body can minister to the body. Now, usually we would do that the other way around. We'd say, who's got needs? Come up. Okay, anybody come. No, we're going to set the table first today. Now, remember, No pressure, but I really need your help. No pressure, but I'm going to ask that when I ask for people to come up, that you don't leave me standing up here, just me and James and Terry and Bill. And amen? Does that resonate for you, church? Does that get into your spirit and say, I want to look back at the end of this year and have been built up, been edified, been strengthened, be further down the road? Does it resonate with you that you are called to live by faith and your faith needs a word? Amen? And I'm going to make you pay. I mean, now we're going to take up the offering. I'm going to ask those who take up the offering to come up. I haven't got to my sermon yet. You do know that, of course. No, I heard that thought. I haven't even got to my sermon yet. So, and Dave, you say you still got a couple of songs, eh? For later this morning. I think a few people would get a real culture shock if we did that. Now, we're going to take up an offering because this demonstrates something of a generous heart to meet the needs of the local house. And I know some people give electronically because it's not so good to walk around with pockets full of money these days. But I still think it's a good practice on a Sunday morning when you pick up your Bible to also put something in your pocket and say, that's going to represent my generosity. Because that house that I'm part of has got bills to pay, and I want to be part of the solution. Amen? So, Lord, this morning as we bring our offering and bring our generosity, we pray that you would cause our hearts to swell this year with bigness and faith and generosity. In Jesus' name. Thanks, guys. As they go and take up the offering, I want to ask you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. No, not really. Not really. Relax. Take a deep breath. Say, naughty pastor, he's only joking. But what I am going to ask, how are we going to close the service? And how's this? I'm standing here during the worship, and Corinne comes over to me and she says, I've got this word, but it's not a word, it's just... I saw at the end of the service how that people were just coming up and getting prophetic words. And I, like, that's exactly how I intended closing this morning. Is have some people standing up here, just available to God to be their telephone wire, and other people who are in a place of desperate. You say, what if I'm both? Well, then you can do both. Pray for someone and then have someone pray for you. You're allowed to do that in this church. Isn't that nice? Don't you love this church? Yeah, I'm glad to be back. I even picked up the notices this morning and had a look at them to make sure I know what's going on in this church. Someone asked me, who's preaching today? I said, I've got no idea. I'm the first day back. It's great to be back at church. I woke us up this morning feeling so relaxed, so at peace, and knowing I'm going to be with this great bunch of people who love to worship, love to smile and engage and be around. And I thought, gee, that's awesome. So I got my prophetic word from Jesus this morning. He said, I'm building my church. Hello? I'm building my church. Sure, they take such a load off my shoulders you can't believe. To know that it's Jenny, it's not our job to build the church. James, Dave, Terry, Bill, leaders, it's not our job to build the church. But he takes personal responsibility for it. Amen? We just got to make the effort to get together on Sunday. How's that? Can I say that right at the beginning of the year? We've got to make the effort to get together on a Sunday. What he does with us in this time should have its outflow in the rest of the week. Come on. If you don't wake up tomorrow morning and say, I got something to put my faith on, then you weren't listening today. Sorry, no one heard that. If you wake up tomorrow morning and you say, I've got nothing to hook my faith onto, you weren't listening. Because there's been a smorgasbord of delightful words of knowledge, wisdom, prophetic flowing here. So for the last time now, we're going to all stand up together. And I'm going to ask you, you know who you are now, to just come out to the front. Just come right now. To step out of your seat. If you have been used and you know, even if it's been a long time and you haven't, and I'm going to stop it at some point because we can't have more people standing up here than people out there. Isn't this wonderful? Come on, church. Let's be grateful to the Lord for his gifts. Let's put our hands together and say, thank you, Lord. There are gifts in the house. There are gifts in the church. There's no lack and no shortage and no inability of gifts in the house. Okay, I'm going to stop it here. So if you're busy walking, keep walking. But no...